Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to be able to assemble ourselves together on a Wednesday midweek service. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 6, we started a series on the life of Gideon on right before we left on vacation. I know we've missed a couple Wednesday nights, and I know the staff have preached those two Wednesday nights, but we want to get back into our study on the life of Gideon. Gideon was a man of faith, and whom God listed as an example for New Testament believers to learn from. And the first lesson we taught on that, we went to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 to find Gideon there in Hebrews Hall of Faith there. And what a blessing that was to see how God has put Gideon in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. And then we have, of course, the entire Old Testament we are to learn from biblical stories and everything that God has recorded for us. It's for our learning. And it's a blessing to be able to study all of the Bible characters, whether it be in Old Testament or New Testament. But Gideon was a seemingly nobody. And can I tell you that most people see themselves as really somewhat insignificant? And sad to say, most Christians see themselves as not really able to do a lot and somewhat insignificant when it comes to the overall plan of God to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't see yourself with any exceptional talents or exceptional strengths. We look in the Bible and we find that God has used many. He would use Samson as one of the judges. And Samson, he would give exceptional strength. And many in the Old Testament, God would empower them and equip them with exceptional abilities and strengths. But Gideon was one that had none. And so we looked at Gideon and we gave him this tag, if you will, a champion of the underdogs. A champion of the underdogs. Even David, as we think of an underdog, we think of David being an underdog to Goliath. But yet that was because of David's youth. When David actually grew into a man, he was a man of war. He went out and fought with the other men of war. He was a great warrior, David was. And he looked to slay not only Goliath, but Goliath's brothers, and was in tremendous battles with them, hand-to-hand combat. And so David was a warrior, and Gideon would have been more of the underdog than what David even would have been as a teenager going up against a Goliath. The thing about Gideon, anyone can be a Gideon. As we get into it, we study the life of Gideon and how God orchestrated everything that took taken place and what God used to defeat this mighty Midianite army. We find that, realize that you could put yourself in Gideon's spot. You could have used the tools that God gave Gideon, amen, and could have achieved what Gideon achieved because he had no special talents, had no special strengths. He just looked to God and relied upon obedience to do exactly what God told him to do. And God gave the victory. And so I trust as we go through this, and we studied that, we kind of outlined all that, the first lesson there, a man of faith and a champion of the underdogs. Now as we look here to the book of Judges in chapter 6, we actually look at chapter 5 and verse 31, the very end of that. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read this, chapter 5, the very end of chapter 5, and then getting into chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. At the end of chapter 5, and this was after the victory of Deborah and Barak, which would have been the fifth judge of Israel. Then the Bible says, and the land had rest 40 years. Now, when we read the Bible, sometimes we just let it all run together, think it just happened overnight. But this was 40 years. 40 years before chapter 6 and verse 1. Okay? And so now we'll look at chapter 6. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for the next 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they come up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, it is a blessing, Lord, to have the health and the opportunity to be in church on this Wednesday night. And I pray, God, that we would all realize that and be thankful for this opportunity. And while we're here, we would open up and receive all that you have for us through the assembling of ourselves together. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, again, as we look here, leading up to the introduction of Gideon, it sets the stage for us. It helps us to see what's taking place and all the circumstances involved in what God was taking place in Israel before God introduces us to this man, Gideon. And so chapter 5, verse 31, it was after the fifth judge, Deborah and Barak, okay? God used them and delivered Israel from another a foe, from another enemy. And after he delivered Israel, Israel was very much appreciative of what God had done for them. And the Bible says that the land was at rest for 40 years. But during those 40 years, there was a gradual spiritual decline of a nation. The spiritual decline of a nation. Now, if you'd stop and look at where we're at as the United States of America, and you would go back 40 years, you can get somewhat of an understanding how things can change in this amount of time. And if you can't see the huge change in society in America over the last 40 years, go back 40 years ago, just think about that. And yes, there has been a major change in a lot of different things. Major change in churches, major change in morality, a major change in the mindset of humanity, okay, and even in the world. But we're looking even at our own state and our own United States of America, and we find here that it's a gradual spiritual decline of a nation. Now, I believe so as the church goes, so does the nation go. And as the families go, so goes the church. And so it's important for Christians to learn to take the stand that God would have us to and not to conform to the ways of the world. Because the Word of God never changes. God never changes. This is the dispensation of time that we're living in is the New Testament church age. Jesus ushered in the New Testament church age some 2,000 years ago. And it is continuing to be the church age until the rapture of the church. And so nothing has changed with what God expects out of Christians, what God expects out of churches today than going back to the first century church. Because we're still in that dispensation of the church age. But yet there has been quite a bit of changes made. And so we find here 40 years, a gradual spiritual decline of a nation from the worship of Jehovah God to the worship of now, 40 years later, of Baal. Now, the reason for this is they did not obey God and completely annihilating the influence of any other gods in the promised land. And because they did not do that, now they have the influence of Baal worship all around them, in which Baal worship is a worship that appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the lust of the flesh. Baal worship is pretty much you can do whatever you want to do. You can live however you want to live and just justify it by saying, well, that's our religion. That's what we believe in. We believe in the gods of Baal, and we can do whatever we want to do. And there's no moral standards in the belief of Baal and the Baal worship. And so as the nation of Israel, these 40 years, they would look around and they started intermingling with the worship of Baal, and they started looking to the world and desiring the things and the lifestyle of those around them. And so they started incorporating it into their lives. We don't know how the church might have, which there's not the church, but the temple and the worship of Jehovah God, how that it would have changed, but it was changing to the place. At this particular time, the Bible says, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They had turned away from honoring God and living as representatives to God to the world to becoming like the world. In the New Testament, we say they lost their savor. If you lose your savor, you cannot be the salt nor the light that the world needs. And so this is what's going on at this particular time of the judges. The worship of Jehovah God waning to the worship and giving way to the worship of Baal. Gideon would have been aware of what was happening. As far as we know, Gideon was still very much committed to Jehovah God. Gideon had not done what the rest had done. And there was others as well. There was many others as well. As we'll see that he's actually able to get about 32,000 soldiers that would come and stand with him. And so there's others that had not given into it, but yet Baal worship was the prevalent worship. It was the dominant way that the society was going. We look at our society today, and you could not say that our society in America is going in the way of following Christ. You would have to say, no, in the last 40 years, we have become more anti the doctrines and the teachings of Christ than ever before. We are leading up to an anti-Christ religion and a government. And we can see it very close. We can see that if we continue at the pace we've gone, it's right around the corner. It could happen at any time. And that's what's going to take place. And when the rapture of the church, the society of the world is going to be turned more to an anti-Christ society. And if you can influence the church, because the church is to be the influence to society, amen, then it's going to come upon us even more quickly. And so we find here, this is what's going on. But there was that remnant that had holding strong to their belief in God. But we find here that they just didn't think that they could make a difference. Gideon would have been aware of what was happening, but didn't think that he, with no exceptional talents and no exceptional strength, could do anything about it. And so they kind of just melted into the woodwork, if you will. Just hidden dens and caves. I don't know about you, but I see the picture even of Christianity today. Because we don't think that we can fight Hollywood. We don't think that we can stand a chance against those ungodly laws and practices in our society. And if we stand up and we say that we believe in this and we believe in the biblical morality and we believe in the living a life that is pleasing to a creator God that has made our bodies a temple of God, that you'll be ridiculed and persecuted, and it really wouldn't make a difference anyway. Well, praise the Lord for a Baptist church. Praise the Lord, when you come to this church, you're going to be encouraged to take stands. When you come to this church, you're going to be encouraged to live for God no matter what the world does. You're going to be encouraged not to conform to the ways of the world, but stand and preach the word of God and testify to the truths of God. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. But for the most part, we have to know that it can and will make a difference. And so we find here that he didn't feel like he could make a difference. As we introduce to, as God introduces us to Gideon, you're going to find this coming out even more and more. But this is what's taking place. In chapter 6 and verse 1, the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. So for 7 years, Gideon now, an adult with a family, is with the rest of Israel hiding in caves. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them the dens which are in mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was. He said, now this is how it happened. This is what was going on. When Israel had sown. Okay, so we find here that Israel was actually allowed during the unproductive times of the year, when it was time to plant, when it was time to take care of the crops, the Midians weren't there. Because they would not kill Israel. And we're going to find here that God didn't have them come in and discipline Israel by killing out Israel. God judged Israel and put them under a punishment. For the most part, we find that they would allow them to go out and plant their fields. They would allow them to go out and work their fields. And then when it come harvest time, when it's supposed to be a rejoicing time of the year because you worked all year long in planting and working the fields and doing everything that needed to be done, and harvest time was the rejoicing time, God took their joy away from them. And when they should have been rejoicing is when the Midians would come in and plunder the land, take their crops, and leave them nothing. Look what it says. That's what the Bible says. So it was like this. And so it was. When Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and even they came up against them. This is for 7 years this happened. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They would devastate the land, take anything and everything that was worth anything away from Israel. And if Israel tried to stand against them, the numbers were so, they were so outnumbered that they would have to run and they would have to hide and watch them plunder their land and take all the increase of the crops that they had labored so hard to plant and to work. For they come up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. When they left, when they would leave, they would take, get all the use out of it. They would leave and wait for the next year. 7 years, Gideon would have spent his life in hiding, losing his crops every year, watching his family suffer every year, seeing Baal replace Jehovah God every year. Wow. Not having any hope of ever overcoming his enemy, because they were, their camels, that they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land. Wow. What a bleak picture for anyone. To live your life without ever having any joy. To live your life without ever seeing the benefits of your labor. To live your life thinking there's nothing I can do about it. I've tried every year. I've tried to go back out. I think maybe this year will be different. I plant my crop and I work hard and I do this and I do that. And then by the time of harvest, when it's a time to rejoice, They use them to work and do all the work, but when it was a time to rejoice, they never had opportunity to rejoice over the harvest because that's when they made their way back in and plundered the land, took everything that was worth anything, and left them with nothing. Now that's pitiful for anybody to think, how can I get out of my situations of life? I'm in a rut. There's no joy. If you're not careful, you're going to think, I don't have any exceptional gifts. I don't have any exceptional talents. I don't have any exceptional strengths, so I can't do anything about it. Yeah, how wrong you are if you're a child of God's. Because if you are saved, you have a heavenly Father. Amen. And if you have God as your heavenly Father, you have something what everybody needs, and you have a way of being able to accomplish anything and everything that God would have you to accomplish, and God would want us to have reap the joy that He has for us. What a bleak picture for anybody, but for God's children. These are God's children. Israel's God's chosen people, as you and I are today in New Testament Christianity. There's a lot of similarities here. So that's what we're going to read tonight. That's what I want you to see tonight. That's what the Bible tells us about this particular circumstance and situation that Gideon was in without before it even introduces it to Gideon. I want to make three applications tonight with what we've just read and what we've studied. First of all, God's blessings are given to allow us to honor Him. God blesses us so that we might be able to honor Him. And when you honor God with what God blesses you, then comes the reward. Then comes the joy. Then comes what God wants to bless us with. Revelation chapter 4, let me just read it to you. Very familiar passage of Scripture to most, but we find here that why do we even exist? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That hadn't changed. In every dispensation of time, humanity was placed on this earth for God's pleasure. Adam and Eve were created and planted on this earth for God's pleasure. And when they would honor God, they would have the joy that God wanted to give to them. They would be rejoicing over what God had given them and having God as their Father to look to. That hadn't changed since the beginning of time to where we're at in this 21st century. We're here, humanity is still on planet Earth for the main purpose of giving honor to God and for His pleasure. That's not going to change until the rapture. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 3. Another very well-known passage of Scripture, but it applies so well right here in understanding this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Stop trying to do what your flesh wants to lead you to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord That's what we're here to do. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And when you do this, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And when you have the blessings of God, and you have plenty, and you have everything and more than what you have need of, then that brings what? Joy. That brings a rejoicing of harvest. But if you fail to do that, then you're not going to have the blessings that are associated with harvest. Amen? Follow with me. Now, you look like it's a Wednesday night and you're tired and cold, whatever it might be. Wake up. Amen. Let's get a hold of this tonight. There's some good stuff right here as we're studying this Bible character, Gideon. Gideon, you can best identify with Gideon out of probably anyone in the Bible. I better identify with Gideon and your troubles and situations than anyone else. Listen to it. For the most of us, we don't have any special supernatural spiritual gifts or talents or strengths, but all of us can have what Gideon had: faith to obey, health, wealth, prosperity. Want to, you can find a church to tell you you deserve it all and you can have it all. If the apostles were here to speak to us tonight, they would say, no, I don't think so. Yeah. But we can have the health, and we can have the wealth, and we can have the prosperity to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. Each one of these are associated with his will for our service to him. I guarantee you, you can have the health that God wants you to have to accomplish what he has for you to accomplish. You can have the wealth that God wants you to have to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. You can have the positions in this world today to be able to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. And it's different for all of us. Not everyone's going to have the greatest of all health. Not everyone's going to have all the wealth that you can think of. Not everyone's going to have the positions and the prosperity that we might desire even. But this is a temporal life that we're living right now. And in this temporal life, it is preparing us for something that will be eternal, where I guarantee you in heaven, we'll all have all the health, all the wealth, and all the prosperity that you can handle. Amen. But for right now, I just want what God has for me to accomplish, what God has for me to accomplish. It's all associated with my service to him. New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Amen. You follow me tonight? Praise the Lord. This is good stuff. It really is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. When it comes to wealth, and Timothy deals with wealth, tells us that in verse 10, for the love of money is the root. I don't love money, I love serving God. Yeah. And as I serve God, God will provide for me whatever wealth I have need of to accomplish his will. Yeah. But now I want you to see the verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, talking about wealth, talking about money, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your trust in the wealth or the riches that you have, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. If you have riches, if you have a wealth, and God says, I've given you that wealth so that you can perform a lot of good deeds with that wealth. You can serve me with that wealth. They make sure that they understand that they do good and that they be rich in good works, which is associated with what you're able to do with the wealth that you have, what you're able to do with the health that you have, and what you're able to do with the prosperity that we have. It all falls in the very same category, whether it be health, wealth, or prosperity. If God has blessed you with that, if God has blessed you with a greater amount of health, whatever age you're at, then he's expecting more out of you with that health. The very same with that wealth. The very same is with that position or prosperity and whatever it might be that God has blessed us with. If God has blessed you with that, then he's expecting something in return. And that something is in return is what? Honoring him. With whatever it is that God has blessed me with. And it is God who blesses. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on, stay focused on eternal life. Amen. That's good stuff. Israel failed to do this. Israel, for 40 years, they started on a spiritual downturn or incline, and they lost sight of this very fact. So they got to the place where they didn't even consider God. For the most part, they had already turned everything over to Baal worship. Hosea chapter 2, how do you know this? Well, Hosea was one of the prophets that God sent to them. And let me just read this to you too. You might have a harder time finding Hosea, but Hosea chapter 2, and Hosea, one of the prophets, said this to them, for she did not know that I gave her corn. Remember, he's the one that gave the illustration of the wife. And for she did not know I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. You're giving your wealth that God's given to you to the world. You're giving your health that God's given to you to the world. You're giving your prosperity, the position that you have. Instead of using that to honor God, you're giving that to the world. That's what they did. For she did not know that I gave her corn. She didn't associate the corn with God. She didn't associate the wine with God. She didn't associate the oil with God. She didn't associate her silver and gold with God. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And that's exactly what happened. God said, because you did not honor me with what I blessed you with, then I'm going to take it away. Because you forgot who gave it to you. You forgot who you owe your life to. And God says, I'll not stand for that. I'll not allow that to continue. Wow. So, God's blessings are given to allow us to honor him. And maybe one of the problems is we're not honoring him with what we have. Because you don't realize, no matter what you have, the most important thing you can do with what you have is to honor God with it. Yeah. With whatever health, with whatever wealth, and whatever prosperity. Even Gideon, who did not see himself as having anything. The first step, Gideon, realize what you do have, you need to honor God with it. And God can do much with what you have. given back to him. The second thing, real quick, it was God who delivered them into the control of the Midianites, Midians. God delivered them for 40 years. He allowed them to go for a long time. He really did. It wasn't as bad to start with. I mean, they probably would have been right there in church every Sunday, right there in church every Wednesday night. They were in church reading their Bibles. They was praying. After the deliverance of the fifth judge of Barak, and we find that they were probably there all the time, giving everything, giving God honor and glory for everything, but over the process of time. Started slowly but surely. Going in a wrong direction. After 40 years, you wouldn't be able to recognize them. Their society, their home life, their mindset in 40 years, completely different from worshiping God to worshiping Baal. Have you ever been closer to God than what you are right now? Have you ever had a time in your life when you read your Bible more than what you do now? Has there ever been a time in your life when you prayed more than what you're praying now? Has there ever been a time when you attended church services more than what you're attending now? If there has been, technically, you're in a backslidden condition. Amen. But we don't want to see ourselves as backslidden. No one wants to see themselves, I don't think. Well, I'm just redirecting my life a little bit. I'm prioritizing the things right now. I've got to build my business, and so I'll get back to reading my Bible sometime later. I'll get back to being in church. I'll get back to serving God. I'll get back to tithing. I'll get back to this. I'll get back to that. And listen to me, that is exactly what Satan wants to deceive you with. You won't get back on your own. A slow downward slide. Yeah. God knows how to discipline his children. They were not killed, most of them. Now, there would have been a lot of deaths, but those that stayed faithful to God, they weren't killed. They're going to come back, and they're going to be part of the army, if you will. And we're going to see some of that, but they didn't get killed. They just had their joy taken away. Their harvest was gone. They were used and abused by the world. And they kept doing it over and over again for 7 years. Well, this year will be different. Let's go out there. Let's work hard. Let's plant our everything else. Get our crop ready. We'll rejoice this year because we'll see our crop come to harvest. And they laughed. The Midianites laughed at them. For 7 years, seven times, they lost their harvest. Yeah. Why didn't they get back after the first year? Why couldn't they realize that they were under the judgment of God maybe by the second year? But it lasted for 7 years. Before they would cry out to God. Before they would come to them senses, to their senses. And God would send them a deliverer. Last thing. Why wouldn't they have learned from history? It happened five previous times of five previous judges. Well, we're different. Really? You think human nature is different today than it was when man fell to Satan's temptations and his lies and deceit? We have not evolved. We're the same. Human nature is the same today as it's always been. Five previous judges. Even for us, the journeys of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land, over and over again. I mean, just when they was doing right and they would dedicate themselves to God, I mean, we're reading it, we're thinking, praise God, way to go, Israel. And then right after you think that they had it clear, then they would rebel and murmur, and you think, what? Yeah. What are you doing? And they'd be judged. And after they're judged and we find that all this going on, then they get back into church, they get back into serving God. You think, yeah, that's where you need to be. Praise the Lord, you finally got it. And then what would happen? Murmuring, complaining, doing everything but honoring God with what they had. Didn't have any more because they didn't give God the honor for what he already gave you. Amen. Don't wait till you become a millionaire to honor God. Don't wait until you don't have any health problems to honor God. Don't wait until you have the position of the President of the United States before you honor God. I'm saying don't wait for a platform other than the platform that you have right now. Don't wait for the health other than the health that you have right now. Don't wait for the wealth. Use the health and the wealth and the prosperity that you have now. Honor God with what you have. God controls the circumstances of life. God controls the future of your life. God controls your happiness. God controls your blessing. God controls the harvest of the land. Why did they ignore the revealed words of God? The journeys, the previous judges, but the revealed word of God. There was no mistake. What God had expected for them and what would happen if they failed to do it. In every dispensation of time, man has been made aware of God's expectation and what God would do in judgment if they failed. Adam and Eve knew. Israel knew. Every dispensation of time, God has made it clear to humanity his expectations and the judgment that would follow their rebellion. And they still rebelled. New Testament church age, not only do we have the history and the example, look back over the world, look back over the history in 2,000 years, you can see it happening over and over again. But we've also had his written down word. How do we ignore it over and over again? Man without God is evil because of a sin nature. Man with God is good. Man can be both, but not at the same time. You have within you the capability of being good and the capability of being evil, every one of us. Ephesians in chapter 4, and we're done. Ephesians in chapter 4, that's the way it's been all along. Adam and Eve, they had the capability of being good. But then they also were capable of being evil. Israel, you can read and study, and they had the capability of being good. But they also had the capability of being evil. God knows who we can be because we were created in his image and after his likeness. And because of that, we can be good if we look to him. But we will all make the choice. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 22. Verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye, and you have to do this, every one of us for ourselves, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look over the existence of humanity. It's what man has chosen which determines the judgment or the blessings of God, not only upon individuals, but upon nations as well. Righteousness is what exalteth a nation. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. That's what's going on ahead of time, before God ever introduces us to Gideon. But it's all in preparation for Gideon, which we can all identify with. And he becomes the deliverer of Israel. Wow. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there's always an invitation. Where you at? Are you truly backslidden and don't want to admit it? Do you understand what's most important is to honor the Creator with what He has already given us? He controls the harvest. He controls the joy, the blessings. Anyone else? You need to come tonight. Right now is an invitation. You can make commitments in your pew, or you can come to this altar, whatever it might be that God spoke to you about tonight. Anyone else? And Father, we do bow before you tonight. We thank you for this, another opportunity to be in church, and thank you for the blessings of being associated with other believers and assembling ourselves together. Thank you for the written down word that you have preserved for us, that we might know the things that we preached on tonight. And Lord, as we continue in our series on the study of the life of Gideon, God, that we would continue to be strengthened and blessed by this study. Now watch over us tonight. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. For this we ask in Jesus' name.